Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire.
Welcome to Ignite Your Luminescent Life, Intuitive Business Mastery and SaaS with Dr. Elena Estanol. I am really excited to be here with you today, and I'm also a little bit nervous, and I'm just going to be super honest because I am trying to do something new today, and most of the time I am recording shows, I'm streaming them live, and then I'm also recording them on Zoom so that people can download them. So today I'm actually trying to see if I can stream the show live and do so while I am actually doing a teaching show. And so, you know, it's all a new experiment for me. And so we shall see how that, how that all starts. So one of the things that I am currently at this moment trying to do is making it work and go live and that kind of thing. But so I wanted to give you the number so that if you are listening to it on the radio and you want to call it, the number to call is 646-716-7979. And just know that I will mute you until the end. And then when I can take questions, then I will unmute you. And then I will, one of the things that I'm super excited about doing today is that we will, I'm going to be talking about something that I'm just really, really passionate about. And that is the, that is really how do you get to be in flow and on fire, basically. It's something that I have been obsessed about pretty much my whole life. And then so I'm super, super excited to be here with you today. So as I am getting started, as I am starting the broadcast on this other thing, I'm going to be just kind of managing these two technologies. And so please bear with me because it's all a brand new experiment and it's a little bit exciting, but also nerve-wracking. But anyhow, so one of the things that I really wanted to encourage for you to do, if you are either listening live on the radio or if you're joining me live on the broadcast, is I may not be able to interact with you as normally like I would in a Facebook Live, but I would really, really love for you to enter your comments, for you to enter your questions, and then I will try to integrate your questions into what I am teaching you. And so that there might be some interaction that way, but I also wanted to be able to stand alone at the radio broadcast that it is. So anyway, for those of you that don't know me, I am Dr. Elena Estanol, and I'm a high-performance psychologist and an intuitive prosperity business mentor. And my passion really is helping people to awaken to their divine mission and express it through profitable and transformational businesses. I really believe that in order to fully express your gifts in the world right now in a powerful way, we need to be using a combination of intuition, mindset, and business strategy, which is why I call it intuitive business mastery, because it integrates components of all three. And of course, I'm excited also because while I really love getting to interview our guests in the radio show, today is sort of like my chance to kind of grab the microphone and really talk to you about this thing that I've been passionate about pretty much my whole life and kind of sharing with you a little bit about my unique system that I have developed that's called InFlow and On Fire, which is a system that will guide you on a journey of how to get into flow more successfully, more often, and also to be able to stay in that state for longer periods of time. And also, you know, we'll obviously be discussing about how you can get to be on fire about what you do without burning out. So I also have gotten a few questions from people already, and so I will try to address them as we go. But if you have questions and you want to call our number, the number again is 646-716-7979. If you are not signed up to get the videos and you want to, that is at intuitivebusinessmastery.com/radio. And then hopefully they will also be stored in my Facebook page, Luminescent Live on Facebook. So let's just start by talking about what is flow. Lots and lots of people talk about it, and there's like probably a whole bunch of different definitions of what flow is. And so for me, flow is an altered state of consciousness where you have a high level of relaxed attention and focus, and where your ability is well matched with the challenge at hand. And you are willing to basically embark in the experience for the sake of the experience alone. So in essence, you're jumping into something with both feet, really believing that you can soar while holding present that you may also do a very deep dive, and you are having the willingness to go into it nonetheless. So even as I'm describing this, I'm kind of giggling to myself a little bit because it's a little bit of what I'm doing right now, right? So I am trying this new thing, and so it is kind of nerve-wracking. Yet I also know that it's something that it's possible. I know that I've done Facebook Live before. I know I've done the radio show before. I'm like, okay, so it's definitely a stretch for me, and I'm going into it, diving in full feet, knowing that, hey, there might be a deep dive and it also could work. So the idea behind this, and this is really, really important, is that it's one of the concepts that we all struggle with, is that we have certain expectations about what things will happen. And these expectations usually tend to be the things that get in the way of us really getting to achieve that high level of performance. Because the moment that you start setting expectations, then we are limiting ourselves, and then we are closing up our energy rather than keeping it open. And in order for us to really flow, then energy needs to be moving. Energy needs to be flowing, and we sort of need to be a little bit like a stream, like a river, kind of going with the flow. And that's where that saying comes from. It is also an interesting thing because, I forgot to mention this, and I want to mention it partly because a lot of the things that I'm going to be talking about today are part of my book chapter of Find Your Flow. It's a book that we published, I don't know, a couple months ago, and it was a beautiful collaboration, and I feel really good about the chapter that I wrote. It's probably the beginning of a larger book for me. And so if you're interested in the book and kind of getting the book and kind of reading a little bit more, you can get that at tinyurl.com. Find Flow. I'm trying to find the link so that I'm telling you the right link here. Findflow-BK. So tinyurl.com/findflow-BK. So if you're kind of listen to me and then you're like, oh my gosh, I really want to know more about this, then that might be a really good book to get. So the idea here is that first we started talking a little bit about high performance and peak performance. And that was a concept that a lot of people understood and was very much associated with athletes, you know. And then we started recognizing that it was something that we could all get into peak performance thing. Thank you. And so the idea here being that it's not just athletes. It's something that we all can get into flow, whether you are a speaker, a trainer, whether you are a musician, or even just a parent, a writer. One of the ways that I get into flow a lot, actually, it's through writing, which is something that's fascinating and something that my guess is that if you've experienced it, you know what that is. You know, I think that flow is sort of a very, I think I describe it as one of the most blissful and tantalizing experiences that we will ever experience. It's really intoxicating and very unforgettable. And it's almost like a drug. Once you experience it, it's like, oh my gosh, I want to go again. How can I get this again? And the problem with it is that while People like me have spent years and years and years studying and researching and looking at all kinds of professionals that get into flow in a consistent basis to really distill. We're trying to distill what are the elements and how can we do this and how can we make it sustainable. What we have recognized is that flow cannot be controlled. There are so many things that we can do to actually get ourselves into flow. There's several characteristics, but ultimately recognizing that they in the end, to really get to greatness, we need to let go rather than control. And so if you're a control freak, then, you know, that would be an area of growth. So I want to share with you what are some of the characteristics of flow. And these come from Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi. He is a positive psychologist, similar like me, but he's been really focused on doing research. And he was is the most credited person with the study of flow. And so he basically indicates that flow has 8 main characteristics. And I'm going to kind of talk about them. I'm going to list them, and then I'm going to be focusing on a few of them because, of course, in the time that we have, I'm not going to be able to mention all of them, but I'm going to focus on a few of them. So the first one, which I think is a really, really important one, and one that we are all as human beings, I think, greatly struggling with, is complete focus and absorption on the task at hand. So we are living in a world of multiple distractions. You know, even as I am doing this broadcast and I'm trying to do things, I have like 4 different windows open. And I am, promise, being very present here with you as I'm discussing some of this stuff. But most of us, our attention is divided into 100 million different places. And so, yes, I love that we have to let go to get into flow, for sure. And so, and focus is one of the first pieces of it. And so if we struggle with focus, then we're going to be really struggling with being able to get into flow. Okay, the second part of that main characteristic is time disruption or time transformation. So most people that talk about being in flow will describe actually time slowing down or time speeding up. And so that's a really interesting thing for me. In the experience, it seems like time slows down. Everything seems really slow and controllable. When you come out of the experience, you realize that everything that happened in that time period usually happened really quickly. So the third piece is clarity of intention and clarity of goals. And this is another piece in which most of us really struggle, in that we don't have much clarity about what we want, or we are very wishy-washy and we think we want this, and then we're like, no, I think we want this thing, and then we want this thing. And so then it's a wonder that we ever get to make the progress that we want to make, because if we don't have that clarity of our goals and the clarity of intention, then it's going to be a very circuitous path. Okay. The fourth component of it is intrinsic motivation. And what that means is that the experience within itself needs to be internally or intrinsically rewarding by itself, so that we're not doing something to get something else. And this is one piece that we often miss, right? We say we're going to do something so that I can have this, or so that I can, you know, make more money, or so that I can, you know, get more people, or whatever it is, you know. Or and the reality of it is that even with athletes and performers, those of them that do the best are because they're doing it because they love to do it. They love the sport. They love the activity. And I think, you know, as a dancer, I think about when I get absorbed into dancing, I'm doing it because I love doing it, because I love moving. I love the experience of being immersed in movement and music. And there could be like 1 person or 100 people, and it doesn't really matter, because it's really getting to do the activity is rewarding in itself. And so this is an important piece of when you are setting goals, of having very clear grounding of what is your goal, and then is it something that you can feel excited and internally rewarded for doing? Okay. Number 5 is this sense of effortlessness and ease. And this is something that we all want. And incidentally, very few, when I talk about high performance, a lot of people have this reaction of like, ooh, because a lot of people I think have been just used to equating high performance with working really hard and doing things the hard way. And I'm not saying that you don't have to work hard, you do, but the idea is that when you get to a certain, you actually need to allow for some effortlessness and ease. Like we were saying, you have to let go to allow your training, to allow your expertise, to allow your brilliance to just come through rather than trying to control it. Number six, there needs to be the perfect match of skill and challenge. And this is a pretty tricky one in that one of the things that Sixth and Mihaly talk about that was that when we have a high challenge, so we are stretching ourselves and it's a really, really big stretch and we actually don't have the skill level, so our ability level is much lower, then what we get is performance anxiety. And this is actually one of the reasons why most people contact me to help them with their performance, is that they feel a lot of performance anxiety or frozen about giving a talk or a presentation. And a lot of times it's either they, the skill that they're at is they still need to develop those skills to be able to match the challenge, or the perception that their skill level is much lower than the challenge creates that level of anxiety. So in order to get into flow, we need to have this perfect match of challenge and skill level so that we can really rise to the occasion. Okay. Number seven is that there needs to be this heightened awareness of our actions, but loss of self-consciousness. And this is a really challenging concept. So the idea is that, the way that I think about it is heightened awareness of our actions as being really in our bodies, like really being very present and noticing and feeling everything that's happening in our bodies right now, but losing the self-consciousness, so losing the evaluatory piece of the stuff that is constantly evaluating and judging, right? Because the moment that we have that, then all of a sudden we get into what I call analysis paralysis, and then we don't do anything, right? And so I'm just going to say it again because it's a interesting concept, heightened awareness of actions but loss of self-consciousness. And I'm just taking a quick drink of water. And then the number eight and last one is feeling control over the task. And so again, while I said it's not something that we need to be controlling, we need to feel like we are in control. And of course, if we're doing something that we have a high degree of skill level, then we can feel a little bit more confident that what we're going to be able to do, we're going to allow that to flow, right? So in some way, so in short, flow cannot be predicted or controlled. And there's this convergence of intention, of preparation, and anticipation that will create this beautiful state. But we cannot predict it, and we cannot have the expectation that's going to happen. And so to me, it's really about stepping into the realm of possibility, you know, and I always think about when we talk about taking a risk or taking a chance, and I think about chance is what that means. It's like there's a 50-50 chance of something, right? Like when we talk about like probability, so 50 chance of probably taking a big deep dive, nosedive, or 50 chance of like really like soaring, right? And you don't really know what's going to happen. But, and so we need to let go of this self-consciousness of like, okay, well, that's going to totally fail because it totally could, and kind of inhabit that space of possibility where we can be excited about the possibility of totally soaring. And I think about, and this is kind of a silly thing about me, but my whole life, ever since I was a little girl, I've been obsessed with flying. Like flying is this thing that I just have this obsession with. And of course, it's no wonder that I do aerial dance now. It makes sense to me. But when I was really young, up until I was like 6 or 7, I kept really trying to fly. And I was flinging myself off the bed and stairs and all kinds of things, which was probably not the greatest thing. But I was convinced that if I could just, you know, flip my hands and my arms fast enough that I might be able to fly. And I kept trying to figure out how to make it work, but I wasn't afraid of actually landing on the floor. And so when I think about this experience, you know, of course you're going to be like, oh my gosh, like the child. but at the same time, it's sort of the same childlike nature that we need to inhabit when we're about to do something scary in our business, when we're about to do something scary in our life, in our relationship, to have this willingness to just step into this possibility that something could happen and just kind of trust and let go. So what I normally call this is something that is an easy concept to talk about. It's a very hard concept to apply, and it's something that I call passionate detachment. And so what I mean by that is that we are passionate, 100% passionately about something, and then we detach from the outcome. So we decide that we're going to do the thing, and like I'm doing now, or that you decide that you're going to launch a new program, or you decide that you're going to go ask a beautiful woman out, or you decide that you're going to have a difficult conversation, and you commit to it 100%, and then you detach from the outcome. And so that then it's really about the process of doing it and just enjoying the process and knowing and trusting that whatever happens, it's what's meant to happen, and that whatever happens, we're actually going to learn from that. So I'm going to go back a little bit to this idea of focus and how focus then is related to productivity, because I think that this is something that we often struggle with. And so interestingly, we get to be more productive when we can get into flow, and that's why it matters, right? So if you have questions and you're here and you want to type in questions, feel free. I have a couple questions that people have typed in ahead of time and I want to address. But the idea is that if you can get into flow, you're going to be faster. And, oh, I love that question. I'm going to write this down. Somebody asked what happens when you don't enjoy the process. So the idea is that we will... really want to stay into finding flow, because we're going to be much, much faster. And I'll give you an example of there's times when I've sat down to write and then it feels like I'm staring at a blank screen and it's painful. And when I've been able to get into the flow, I've written like entire book chapters in, you know, 2 days. And so the idea is like, how can this happen? And it's like, well, if we can prepare ourselves enough for it, then we're able to make it happen. So I want to address a piece that feels really important, and this goes to the piece of being on fire. I often talk about motivation being what we need for cleaning toilets, and I mean that both literally and figuratively. You know, I have not met anybody that likes to clean toilets yet, and so I think that motivation is the thing that we need to clean toilets, right? Motivation is what we need when we don't like doing something, versus inspiration is what we really want to be and get into to be able to get into flow. And so there are two concepts that are related but different in some ways. And so to me, inspiration means to be in spirit, to be like truly, truly inspired and being filled by sort of like that divine energy that is pushing you and propelling you forward. And motivation, though it can be intrinsic, most of the time ends up happening, we get motivated by external things. And so I'm going to start by motivation, because this was a great question of like, what happens, you know, how do we get motivated to do something that I don't like to do? And actually somebody else had asked, how do I stay motivated to do something difficult that stumps me? And so I think that these two questions can come, can go together. So first of all, it's recognizing that if you can find something that motivates you internally, it's going to be way more powerful and way stronger. So I'll give you maybe two examples. When I was in grad school, I hated statistics and I'm math and just could not seem to get through my classes. And then the moment that I decided, so it was a shift in mindset and perspective, that statistics were the thing that I was going to need to be able to make my research meaningful and for me to be able to communicate a message that mattered, then all of a sudden I became a lot more motivated to learn more about statistics. So I needed to tie it to something really meaningful that mattered to me so that I could then be intrinsically motivated to do it. And so if there is a way that you can tie doing something that you don't like doing to something that matters to you or to somebody that you care about, then that might make it a little easier to get motivated. The other piece might be to actually then create external motivations, which are, they're a little bit less powerful than internal motivators, but they're still powerful. And that is basically being able to create rewards along the way. So, I mean, this is where accountability buddies and that kind of thing come into play. So accountability may be helpful, but also being able to create a particular reward. So perhaps doing the part that you dislike doing about your work early on during the day and then doing things that you enjoy later and then not allowing yourself to do the fun things ahead of time. And so this is a concept that sometimes is difficult because we want, of course, we always want to do the thing that we like to do first. And so it's really a little bit about self-control, about saying, okay, I'm going to get to go to the gym. I'm going to get to go hang out with my girlfriend. I'm going to get to go to the park once I finish this thing. And so then that creates a loop. The more that you can create both an internal, maybe meaning-making, and then an external thing, then the better off you'll be. The piece about like the best way to stay motivated when something difficult stumps you, I think somebody said like the techie stuff. Well, it's something similar. I do think there is a fantastic book called Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. And he talks a lot about it's not just IQ and it's not just, talk about the 10,000 hours of practice to become an expert in those kinds of things. But he really talks a lot about the environment and how much the environment plays a role in us being successful. And so if we look at athletes and even many entrepreneurs that are being successful, they are the ones that are in masterminds, they are the ones that are seeking support. They are the ones that constantly are challenging themselves and surrounding themselves with other people that can support them. So if there's something difficult, they have somebody that they can call or chat or so that you're never staying in your little cave alone and then struggling through that kind of thing. So So one of the things that somebody asked me was like staying on task. Okay, so there's two questions that I've had that I think are really important and I kind of want to get to it. One person asked about productivity and please let me know if the motivation things kind of spoke to you or if you feel like, okay, but here's where I'm getting stumped. To me is the more that I can focus on the bigger picture, and this is still coming back to the inspiration piece, the more that I can focus on the big picture and stay focused on that, the more excited I get. You know, a lot of times we get so narrowed in on the things that we're doing. And I know that for me, it's like, oh my gosh, like some of the website or the techie stuff or the, you know, building a funnel, or whatever that might be, you know? And so it's easy to kind of get so narrow and discouraged by those things. But if you really open it up and remind yourself, why is it that you're doing all this, right? And it's because you have a really important message to share with the world, because you want to make a difference in people's lives and you really get refocused and re-energized to like when I really get to have the impact that I want to have in people's lives, and people get to change their lives as a result of what I'm teaching or as a result of working with me, then that becomes a lot more meaningful. And so if you can really connect to that higher source of inspiration and then use that to ride through all of the nitty-gritty things that feel discouraging, then you can get through a lot. And this is the only way that I got through grad school, honestly. You know, people say, how did you get through 17 years of higher ed? That's how. Like, I just kept focused on the big picture, and that's really what drove me through. So the next question that I had asked was that I was asked was, what does productivity look like? And is there a standard for it, or is it always self-defined on any given day or week? And I thought this was a great question. And so I decided that I wanted to look up just even definition of productivity just for kicks and giggles, you know, and it says it's a measure of efficiency of a person per day, or the economic measure of output per unit of input, measure of output per unit of input. It's so technical and ultimately comes back to economics. And I thought, okay, but this is really, for us, it's really about making progress on the tasks that count. So it's not about being busy, right? Because a lot of times we think that we're being very productive when we're being busy or getting a lot of stuff done. It's not about being busy, it's about being efficient. And so it's really about being able to make progress towards the things that are, or get things done towards the things that are going to create progress in our particular goals. So, you know, all of you have talked about the 80-20 rule, that basically 20% of our efforts are responsible for 80% of our results, whether that is profits or, you know, increased productivity or any of that kind of thing. And so really being able to evaluate what are some of the habits that we have and some of the ways in which we approach some of those tasks, that are we actually focusing on the 20% that's going to yield the greatest impact, or are we focusing on staying super busy on doing all of the stuff that is the 80%? And so, you know, once I started evaluating some of these things, I realized that a lot of times I was spending a lot of work and a lot of time doing things that were completely unhelpful in the progression of my business, but I was like kind of stuck working in my business instead of on my business. And we all have kind of talked a little bit about that. So I think that each of us in some ways need to determine what is the thing that is how are we going to measure our productivity? And I think that we do need to set some type of measurable standard, because if we are not measuring, then it's going to be really difficult to know. And so that might be a to-do list. That might be looking at what your business strategy is and all of the sequencing of all of the tasks that you need to accomplish to be able to make something go from beginning to end, rather than just focusing on the one thing, right? Because a lot of times, and you know, and I'm talking about business partly because I work a ton with business people, but you know, I'm hearing, okay, well, like I got my opt-in ready, or I got my sales page ready, and that's fantastic. And that's like a huge accomplishment. And it's also looking at like, how are all of these pieces going to work together? Because in some ways while you don't have to do it all at once, we're not actually finished until the whole sequence is finished. And so being able to chunk them out is an important piece of being able to feel productive and feel rewarded for the work that we're doing, and being able to keep in mind what are all of the different pieces that we need to do to be able to actually achieve the particular goal or outcome that we have set out to achieve. And then feel free to post in or comment or that kind of thing. So the second piece, and this was kind of a related question to the productivity thing, and I thought it was a great question, was that it's really difficult to stay in task when there's so much to do on a given week. And so this person said, I make a list, and then something else super important comes up, and then I have to go and tend to that. And then, you know, it just happens often, and so that we feel derailed. And I can't tell you how much I relate to this, Donna. Like, I so appreciate you saying this, because this is definitely something that I have struggled with, that I've had to really evaluate and take a look at in my life and in my business. And I would say that it's probably something that happens for most of us and most business owners and parents as well, because I think parents tend to get to that place of overwhelm. And I will say that probably the biggest reason that this happens is that we are overcommitted. Whether we want to admit it or not, I think that we all get excited about different things, and then we overcommit to those things. And then all of a sudden, things kind of start piling up, especially if we're not staying on time. So one of the pieces that I think is super important for all of us to evaluate is, you know, what are we agreeing to do? What are we saying yes to, and what are we not saying yes to? And I'm going to just give a plug right now to my friend, Joy Evans, who I will have in my radio show here in August. And she specializes in that piece precisely, because it's something that we all need to do in order to be able to really become much more effective at what we do. And so there's three different words that I often kind of think about. They're related, but one of it is productivity. The second one is efficiency. And the third one is effectiveness. And they are related but different, in that we can be very efficient about doing things and potentially doing them really fast, but they're not effective. And so when we especially are looking at some of the work that we do, sometimes efficiency is all that we need, right? And some of the other work that we do, we actually need to be evaluating not just for efficiency, but also for effectiveness. So whether that is transformational work that you are doing with your clients, or potentially copywriting and making sure that what you are creating is having the effectiveness that you are desiring, might take a couple iterations. So the piece about making a list, I think it's really important. I will say that for most of us, we do not have enough high performance habits that we have incorporated into our lives consistently. And I'm going to say that again. I don't think that we, in general, have developed high performance habits that we have incorporated into our lives to be able to be effective and efficient at the same time. I would wager to say that most people, one of the first things that they do is look at their phone, look at their email, look at their Facebook. And that is one of the first things that I would say stop doing. Because the moment that you make looking at your phone your first priority, then all of a sudden you're making everybody else's priority ahead of yours, right? If you start by developing routines and habits that are going to serve and support you, where you get to establish what is your most aligned priority for today, what is going to be the thing that you need to do that's going to allow you to be both efficient and effective for the day and move you forward in the goals that you have set for yourself, then you can be very, very clear as to what you're going to say yes to and what you're going to say no to, rather than sort of having this loose list that you keep shuffling from one day to the next to the next. And then all of these fires keep coming up, and then you're being redirected from one thing to the other. And it goes a lot deeper than that. But if you're interested in this kind of stuff, I want to give you a resource, and it's basically a seven day challenge of how you can start establishing some effective habits that can increase your productivity, your focus, and your performance, so that you are taking control over you and learning and setting yourself up to actually get into flow a lot more often. It's really hard to get into flow when all of your notifications are going through, your phone's ringing off the hook, and like, I don't know how anybody could get into flow in that condition, right? It's like also looking at your environment. Is your environment something that is supportive of you getting into flow or not? And so that resource is tinyurl.com/ quantum-leap-results. tinyurl.com/quantum-leap-results. And it's basically a comprehensive guide, but also 7 different short videos that give you specific strategies on how you can start becoming more focused and more productive in your day. So one of the questions that I was asked was what's the easiest way to get into flow and to stay in flow. And so I'm going to go back to, I'm going to introduce to you basically the system that I've created that I call Inflow and On Fire. And it is basically a system to help my clients achieve this state of high performance and flow, and how you can begin preparing yourself so that you can achieve maximum results in everything that you do. And there's 7 different steps to it. And know that most of us will have some type of proficiency in one of them, and we will have bigger challenges in other parts. And so my recommendation is for you to really look at where is your strength and where is your weakness, and to focus on developing your weakness. So, and this might sound counterintuitive to a lot of the things that I've said or that other people say. It's not that you don't honor your strengths. When you are actually deciding what you're going to do in your life, decide and do what comes naturally for you, what your strength is. But when you are actually working on improving yourself and stretching yourself and developing yourself, then you really need to look at what are the areas in which you struggle with, what are the areas in which you are weak, and then focus on strengthening those areas. Because just like any team, right? Any team is only as strong as the weakest link. And so the idea here is that we want to be strengthening our areas of weaknesses. And then when we're working as a leader with our teams, with our tribes, that then we also want to be helping and strengthening people that are struggling. So the first, the entire grounding for my system is that we are energetic beings, that everything is composed of energy, and that we are going to get into flow and be truly on fire when our energy levels are at their highest and we are vibrating at the highest level. And so there are 4 different types of energetic sources that we are managing at any given time. And there might be more, but there's just 4 that I'm focusing on. And the first one I call intensity. And intensity is really the fire part of this whole thing. It's what I call our spiritual energy. This is our ability to really align our desires with our wishes, with our greatest calling, and tap into that higher source and our intuition. It is basically what lights us up, right? It's the basis of inspiration. It's the basis of motivation. And it is not really, and it's a thing that we can only tap into when we're fully aligned. And so, you know, if you're trying to do something that you're not feeling super excited about, or you're not totally in alignment with, then might be worth reconsidering, because unless you are super, super aligned with it, then the energetic flow to that area, it's not going to be there. And so, you know, often I think about when I'm struggling to do something for a longer period of time, right? Like I'm not finding the motivation to do something. I'm not finding the motivation to do something. I start questioning myself, like, okay, is this something that is not in alignment with me? Or is this something that is getting in the way, or if there's something else that's getting in the way for me to step into it? It could either be something that's really, really out of alignment, and so then I'm just resisting it internally. Or it could be that it's something that's really, really right and really in alignment, and it scares the crap out of me, and it's going to require me to stretch and grow. And so the human ego part of me is kind of resisting it because I'm a little scared of like what's going to happen and what's going to require for me to step into that. And so that's kind of what I would suggest you looking at. So, and again, like the training that that's at the quantum-leap-results will give you some really practical exercises for you to do, from meditation, from free writing, and why those things are important for you to kind of get aligned and connected to what matters most. The second part of this is quality. And I call quality the emotional energy that we have. So it is basically what describes what describes our energy. And interestingly, it's probably one of the most challenging yet important aspects of having a happy life, a successful business, and experiencing flow. If we learn how to transform our emotional state, regardless of the circumstances, whether it's people or negative situations, then we're really able to tap into a reservoir of tools and strategies to change the quality of your energy, then you really can achieve anything. You can have people eating out of your hand, because the idea being that when you are truly able to not be influenced, pulled, or dragged down by other people's energies or circumstances, then you really are truly in your power to do and create anything. So I'm going to give you a little tip about this, because one of the things that really fascinates me about our world today is that we want, there's this thing about being humble and this peace that is the subversive criticism when other people seem to celebrate their successes and celebrate positive things that happen in their lives. And there's sort of this subversive judgment that happens from people that, you know, they're bragging and blah, 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 that often stops us from really truly celebrating successes and really acknowledging them. And it's a huge problem, because one of the ways in which we get to start learning how to master our emotional energy is by rewiring positive emotion through our brain and our bodies. And the only way that we do that is by experiencing positive things and actually celebrating them, actually retelling them. So our brains are interestingly wired to be like Velcro for negative experiences and like Teflon for positive experiences. That's just sort of part of our evolutionary brain that keeps us from like being attacked by bears and eaten by saber-toothed tigers and that kind of thing. But it's that we are really over-focused on the negative pieces, and we sort of slide down the positives, and we need to be reversing that and creating something different. So every time that you have a positive experience, something good, something exciting, something that like fills you up with excitement and elation, you need to actually celebrate it. You need to be able to tell it and talk about it. The more times you do, the more you are rewiring it. And then even more so, we need to be consciously then grounding it and anchoring it with something physical. So if you can create a physical gesture that grounds that feeling and potentially tie it to a sense of smell or even a song, even better. So whether that is like you make a fist with your right or left hand, you might even just like stroke your cheek or like tap your chest or whatever it is. It doesn't really matter what is the physical thing that you use to ground it, but that you do it consistently. And then if you decide that you want to tie it to a particular smell or a particular sound, and every time that you feel really good, you do that, whether it's the tapping or the closing your fist, then we can rewire it. Yes, and thank God we can, because otherwise we'd be like in huge trouble, right? And why this is important is because the more that we do this, when shitty things happen, which they're bound to happen because we're human and we live in the world and stuff happens, when we can then go back to those anchors and listen to the songs, smell the smells, feel the physical sensation, then our bodies will naturally be able to shift into that state of excitement or happiness or joy or love or whatever it is that we were rewiring, and then able to quickly shift from one state into another, which then will give you all kinds of power to do all kinds of things. Okay, and so I wanted to just give you one little strategy, because this is something that I feel it's so, so important and something that we all struggle with incredibly in our world. So the third one is focus. And I talked a bunch about this. It's what I call our mental energy. And it's really our ability to stay focused on the here and now, on the present, the moment to moment developments. And to me, this is more I love the idea of curiosity, because curiosity to me is about openness and being and having that anticipation, that excitement of trying to know and understand something. And if you think about when we were kids and we were really curious about something, we were intensely focused on that one thing. Like, we didn't want anything else to bother us. We just wanted to know and understand that one thing. And so if we can tap into curiosity and be able to start kind of tuning in the environment, turning off the environmental distractions to tune in to being really focused and really present, then we can get into flow much easier. So again, this is about being able to increase also your working memory, because when we are trying to 10 gajillion things at once, then our working memory gets depleted. So this idea of multitasking, even though I've tried it for years and years and years, it doesn't work. And we tend to be most effective and most efficient when we can focus on one particular thing at once and then move on to the next. Okay, so the fourth one is quantity, and this is really our physical energy. Makes sense, right? Like, this is the amount of energy that we're going to have on any given day. And this is where the body really gets integrated into it. So we can be having all the great positive mindsets and positive, alignment and all of these things. But if you're not sleeping, or if you're eating shittily, or, you're not moving your body, then you're not going to have enough physical energy. You're not going to have enough energy to actually do and participate in all of the things that you want to do and participate. And so being able to take care of our bodies. And so this is why, whether it's nutrition, hydration, sleep, exercise, but also taking care of ourselves when we are sick, being able to make time for rest and play and fun, it's such an important piece of being able to be super well-grounded. And this is something that I have struggled with a lot, and I've learned it the hard way, because I'm like, okay, well, I need to get stuff done and blah, blah, blah. And I see this a lot in high performers without recognizing that we cannot be high performers if we are not taking care of our physical selves as well. Like, that is some of the most important foundation, right? So we need to be sleeping well and eating well and hydrating and taking time to rest, taking time to play, taking time to do fun things that are not always being productive, so to speak. Okay, the fifth one is really creating some systems, routines, and habits. And in some ways, it's a big thing. It's a big umbrella of stuff, because it's really about creating routines and habits in your life that will allow you, whether these are morning routines, evening routines, transition routines, work routines. And then within that, being able to create systems in your work environment so that you are not reinventing the wheel every time. And so really being able to start getting into understanding what is the most ideal flow for you. So I'm going to talk a little bit about this just briefly. For years and years and years, I am a night owl. It's well known. Everybody knows I'm a night owl. And I have tried so much to shift that. I have tried so much to become a morning person. And no matter how hard I try, I just can't make it happen. And not that I cannot make it happen. I can go to bed early and I can wake up early. But what happens is that I wake up early and my brain's not really fully turned on for, the first couple hours. And if I'm not able to stay up late when I'm, when I get into flow, then all of a sudden I'm not really getting to have the type of breakthroughs that I normally get. So it's a little frustrating for me. And so finally I realized that this is really about learning how to find your own flow. figuring out when is the best time for you. What is the best time? When are you most creative? When are you at your best? And then being able to create routines and strategies and systems that support you at your best rather than some other person's idea of what the best is. Okay. So the last two, and I'm just going to mention them because I am looking at the clock and noticing that I need to end the show pretty soon, is both number six is sort of our ability, I call it our ability to manifest our dreams and intentions, and our ability to jump time. So it has to do with the power of using time accurately, not just managing our time now, but being able to know how we can reshape what's happening in the future by going into the past and changing the stories and then creating new stories for the future. And so that in some ways we're jumping time by altering the beliefs, the perceptions and the stories that we are carrying that are holding us back and being able to manifest our dreams and our intentions, because most of everything we do is being guided by a lot of unconscious beliefs. And then the last part is really evaluating and integrating all of the experiences in a positive spiral and figuring out what's the best system for you to allow you to get into that best state of flow. So I am super, super grateful for all of you that joined me live, that were putting in your comments, that were putting in your questions, because they were super good and challenging me to kind of integrate all of this information. And again, if you want to get the book, it's at tinyurl.com/findflow, and that's all one word, findflow-book. And then if you want to get the seven-day course to improve focus and productivity, you can get at tinyurl.com/quantum-leap-results. So know that you are such an incredible human being, that you have incredible potential to change not just your life, but the lives of others. I had a really powerful realization today. I was reminded by a good friend that it's as we rise, and as we challenge ourselves and rise up and show up 100% and commit 100% to do something, we get to have a breakthrough. But it's not just about us. It's also about the ripples and the breakthrough that it creates for those around us. Because as we are able to do that, then we're able to show up and serve other people in a bigger and greater way and have a greater impact. And so I just wanted to leave you with that, because the idea of being able to get into flow is a blissful experience for us personally, but also recognizing that as you do, then you're going to have a greater ripple effect and a greater impact through those around you. So I'm super, super grateful for all of you being here, and love your comments and questions. And until 2 weeks from now, defy the ordinary, become extraordinary. This is Dr. Elena Estel with Luminescent Life and Intuitive Business Mastery.